We're in John's Gospel today. John's Gospel, chapter 11, looking at verses 17 to 45, in a sermon entitled, Fix It. John 11, verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in their loss, the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who's come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who'd been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could he not, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? Jesus once again more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Lord Jesus, this is a wow. It's a wow that should speak to us in our moments of pain. Oh God, I pray that you would help me. Oh God, I pray that you would help this people. I pray that you would help us as we deal and open this passage. Speak to us by it and through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, I commend to you. I've taken a large section that I've read. If you read the portion before it, it's a lead up. It's a wonderful thing. Use it as devotions for the week. John 11. But in his book, Father Care, there's a man named Charles Kahn, and he tells about his 2-year-old daughter, Vanessa. And she was given a helium balloon. Been there? Little kid, given a balloon. Here we go. Bright blue. Seemed almost alive as it danced and floated on the end of her string as she ran through the halls of the church, pulling along that balloon behind her. But the inevitable happened. The balloon bumped into some sharp edge of a metal railing and popped. With a single loud bang, it burst and fell to her feet. She looked down. She looked down and saw what had been her beautiful balloon. Now a forlorn wad of wet blue rubber. It took her only a moment to regain her buoyant mood, however, as she picked up the remains of the balloon, marched cheerfully to where her father was standing, and thrust the balloon up to him and said, "Here, Daddy, fix it." You know, I want to tell you this morning that sometimes our lives resemble that wad of wet blue rubber lying there on the church floor. Here, Daddy, we say to God, fix it. Now, I'm going to tell you, in this passage of Scripture, I'm going to let you in on something. Mary and Martha were really close friends of Jesus, okay? Last week, blind man, Jesus never met him, heals him, boom! Close friends, Mary, Martha, sick guy Lazarus, 2 miles away, don't go anywhere near him, ooh! Close friends, Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus was seriously ill, and they are concerned about his welfare, and they lack medical conveniences that you and I have, so they sent for. They sent a messenger to the one man that they knew could help them. We find that in verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Mary and Martha had been witnesses to the healing power of Jesus. They knew what he could do. They felt that their brother was in absolutely no danger if Jesus would just come. If Jesus would just come and minister to him, all would be well. Now we can appreciate their feelings. How many times have we thought, if we can just get him to the hospital, he'll be all right. Or if the doctor just gets here in time, she will recover. Jesus did not return in time. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days by the time Jesus reached the village. And I read to you, let's look at verse 21. Fascinating. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I'm thinking she's not happy. I'm believing that hers is a sharp tongue. Now, it's my interpretation, but she expected something. She knew what Jesus could do. They were close friends. He's healing lots of people that he never even met. Come on, he knows Lazarus. Lazarus is a close friend. Why not Lazarus? Friends, I got to add a word of caution here. Sometimes, like the little girl with the balloon that had burst, we have unrealistic expectations of God. Sooner or later, by some means, everybody dies. We don't want it to be the 2-year-old. We don't want it to be the man with 3 triplets. We don't want that. It's even hard when somebody's 101. Even though Jesus raised Lazarus on one occasion, Lazarus would one day die. That's why we got to prepare. It's difficult to let go of someone we love, but sooner or later we have to accept the inevitable. Now, I'm really grateful for this story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave, because what it says to you and what it gives to us is part of the mission statement of the church. Jesus is there. He comes to the tomb. He raises Lazarus from the dead right there, then and now, no waiting for the resurrection. This is a huge deal. This is a really big deal. I mean, talk about a blind man in the chatter. This is a dead man who stinks. You know, make sure you remember, he stayed 4 days. Jesus was only 3, remember? So, demonstrated that Jesus' love is there. Jesus' power over death is absolute. But the mature Christian understands that death is a part of God's plan. It's a part of life. We pray to hold on to our loved ones, but we trust a loving God to care for our loved ones, whether in life or in death. Nevertheless, here it is. We've got this unbelievable scene, one of the most unbelievable scenes in the Bible. Have you ever been troubled? I'm really troubled. Did you know Jesus was troubled? It says right here, just after John 11:35, Jesus wept. And you're like, oh my goodness, why is he weeping? He's about to raise this guy from the dead. They're about to giggle. Why not just raise the guy and change the whole mood? But the bottom line, friends, is he felt their pain. That's a big message for you. Even though he knew something better was coming for them quick, he felt their pain. And in verse 33, we find that Jesus was deeply moved and troubled in spirit. So he's moved, he's troubled in spirit, he wept. You've got a need this morning. You've got a problem you're facing. And all I'm saying is Jesus is treating you the same way that he treated Lazarus. And Lazarus is dead. And then, in that amazing, wonderful passage of Scripture, verse 43, one of the greatest scriptures that we have that is the promise of our resurrection. Lazarus, come forth. Come out, verse 43. Lazarus does. He comes out. His hands and feet are bound with bandages and his face is wrapped in a cloth. And then Jesus says to those who are witnesses to this unbelievable, amazing, once-in-a-lifetime event, hey, unbind him. Unbind him, verse 44b. Let him go. We find right here in the scripture. The dead man came out, hands and feet wrapped, cloth around his face. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus is in control. And that story of Lazarus is a story and drama of love and new life and freedom. And it's a representative of the things that Jesus is still doing in people's lives today. You know, there are things that are always present in our lives if we're following Jesus. They're always there when our balloons are a forlorn wad of rubber and we're pleading to God, please fix it. We're heartened in a time of crisis by the presence of the Master. Jesus is with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hear the words of the scripture. Mary and Martha called for Jesus. Jesus came. Also hear the words of the reality of scripture. He didn't come when they wanted him to. Just because we are impatient and our timing is not God's timing doesn't mean that he's not in control. Jesus cares whenever you have any kind of need. He promises us that we'll have a counselor, that we'll have a comforter. The word paraclete is the Greek word for presence. that Jesus promised. And it's a really interesting word. It comes from the law courts of the time. And the paraclete was a person of unblemished character. Imagine. When the evidence had been presented, the verdict was imminent. In a court trial, the person of unblemished character, this paraclete, would simply come and stand next to the accused. Bad boy, did a bad thing, going to jail. Great unblemished person of character standing directly next to them. And the power of that paraclete's character gave the accused not only comfort, but moral support in the pursuit of a favorable verdict. But is not this what the presence of the risen Christ does for us in life's most difficult trials? May we not see a loved one raised from the dead as Mary and Martha did? We may not see that, but come on. It helps us when we're carrying a terrible burden that we do not carry it alone. We have the comfort of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the promise of Christ's power. Every follower of Jesus needs to understand that Christ has power over life and death. Otherwise, we don't have any news that's good news. You might want to ask yourself whether you have a big God or a little God. Little girl attentively listened as her father read the family devotions, and she seemed awed by her parents' talk of God's limitless power and grace. And, "Daddy, Daddy," she asked, placing her little hands on his knees. "How big is God?" CJ was a person that was kind of asking, "Who's bigger? Is Pop-Pop bigger than Mommy? Is Papa? Is God bigger?" "Yes, he's bigger." And God is always just a little bit bigger than you need. God is always a little bit bigger than our need. You know, we have finite power. We have only the most tenuous hold on our existence, but there is one who holds our existence in the palm of his hand. Hear the command of Jesus, at which the dead rise. "Lazarus, come forth." This is the powerful name of Jesus. This is the forceful name of Jesus, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is God. Trust him. He loves you. He's with you. His power is limitless. Boy, I gotta tell you, I am so heartened by his presence. I'm so heartened by his power. But he also has a purpose. And that's really kind of one of the hard things. We talked about that. And in our scripture for today, one of the reasons that this happens to Lazarus, Jesus says, is so the glory of God would be revealed. That happened with the blind man. Why was this man blind? No, it wasn't sin of his parents. No, it wasn't anything he did. It was so the glory of God would be revealed. Why did Lazarus die? Why didn't Jesus come sooner? Why didn't he just make him better? Why didn't he just heal him? So the glory of God would be revealed. Now, you're going through something, and you may be going through it, and I may be going through that, so the glory of God may be revealed. We've got a purpose. Boy, there in Ezekiel 37, one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Ezekiel there in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. And he shows Ezekiel a valley of dry bones. You remember that scripture lesson? And the Spirit says to Ezekiel in verse 3, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now that's a lot of faith. Valley of dry bones, God asking, can these bones live? Can the impossible happen? Can Lazarus be raised from the grave? The answer was, of course they can live again. God can take that which is dead and that which is but dust and ashes, and seemingly, utterly without hope, and reconstruct and rebuild and reanimate and rekindle and revive. Nothing is impossible with an omnipotent God. And then, a little bit later, fascinatingly enough, from verse 11, the Lord tells Ezekiel that these bones, this valley of dry bones, actually represent people, the people of Israel. It was God's plan and purpose to make a new covenant with his people and to rekindle the hopes of his people. You see, Ezekiel knew about God's power. And what God needed to let him know as he was looking at Israel, trying to understand why in God's name aren't they coming back to God? Why is the nation in such terrible trouble? The power of God had to be revealed. And what Ezekiel needed to understand was God's loving and faithful purpose. And when you and I come to a time of crisis, maybe this week, we too must know God's power. We know he can fix any problem. The question often comes to us, and that is this. What about my particular situation? What about this one? The answer is, he is. He will come to you. You know, God is so very good, and the picture of Jesus weeping beside the tomb of Lazarus is an important and unforgettable portrait because it allows us to look into the eyes of the Father. A Father who sees you hurting. A Father who sees you in pain. And his eyes, filled with tears because of what you're going through, knows that resurrection and deliverance will come. But he is with you. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that the eternal purpose of God is this, that nothing, no matter what you've got facing you, no matter what comes in the way, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's the comfort to the breaking heart. The Father cares when the children are in pain. So, there they are. God is a Father who can fix any situation. Father in heaven, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your presence, your power, and your purpose. Lord Jesus, help us as we examine our lives today. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we come to this communion table. We need to get clean before you. We need to confess our sins. We need to remember that you have power, that you have presence, that you have purpose. This table is here. Your presence is here. This table is here. Your power is here. This table is here. Your purpose is here. Let us, we, your people, get in line with you. Get in line with your presence, your power, and your purpose. Amen.